Testing. One, two, three. Very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 26th August 2018, our 83rd lesson of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. So we will now get ready for puja. Let us prepare our mind, develop the spiritual faculty of sada, virya, and sati, then mindfully we shall commence our puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sijya Mani Phu. Namo Bhansi Sijya Mani Phu. Namo Bhansi Sijya Mani Phu. Namo Kwansin Pusa. Namo Kwansin Pusa. Namo Kwansin Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahaṁ sammā sambuddho bhagavā buddhaṁ bhagavantaṁ abhivādemi. Svākāto bhagavata dhammo dhammaṁ namāsāmi. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sangham namami. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṁ saraṇaṁ gacchāmi. Dhammaṁ saraṇaṁ gacchāmi. Sanghaṁ saraṇaṁ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi buddhaṁ saraṇaṁ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi dhammaṁ saraṇaṁ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi sanghaṁ saraṇaṁ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṁ saraṇaṁ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṁ saraṇaṁ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṁ saraṇaṁ gacchāmi. Pānatipātā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṁ samādhiyāmi. Adinādhāna vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṁ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācārā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṁ samādhiyāmi. Mosāvādā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṁ samādhiyāmi. Sura meraya maja pamadatana veramani sikkhapadaṁ samādhiyāmi. Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Buddhaṁ pujeme. Dhammaṁ pujeme. Sanghaṁ pujeme. Okay, you all can be seated. We will turn to page 1. We will recite the verse for opening the sutta. Verse for opening the sutta. The unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, then we turn to where we stop. Page 415. Or 414, I think. 414, yeah. Okay, we are at the sutta section. Now to say goodbye, I will leave you a verse called the Self-Nature's True Buddha Verse. People of the future who understand its meaning will see their original mind and realize the Buddha way. The words run. The true suchness nature is the true Buddha. Deviant views, the three poison are the demon king. So this verse, the four stanza verse, is very meaningful. This is from Hui Ning. So we go through it one more time. The true suchness Self-nature is the true Buddha. This one is quite easy to understand. That Buddha nature is the same as our true suchness, self-nature. It's called the original nature. Then deviant views, the three poison or the three evil roots, are the demon king. So here Hui Ning say, people of the future who understand its meaning will see their original mind and realize the Buddha way. So this one is very important. That's the reason why Hui Ning, The three hallmark of his teaching points towards the same thing. The first one is no thought. No thought will enable you to realize the true mind. Then you continue with the cultivation to realize no mark. Then finally, no dwelling. Then when you can finally develop all the wisdom of the three hallmark, no thought leading to no mark and no dwelling, then you will come to realize the true nature. The true nature is the Buddha nature. So this one is very important. That's the reason why people, Hui Ning say, people of the future who understand its meaning will see their original nature or original mind and realize the Buddha way. So if you cultivate accordingly to Hui Ning's three hallmark, you will realize that original mind. Okay, we go on to the commentaries. We are at page 414. The most important part of the Platform Sutta is this last verse. It explains everything extremely well. The six patriarchs left it, not just for the people of his day, but for us too. Now to cultivate according to its principle, he saw that you and I would be here listening. You all have a share. And we should cultivate according to this verse. Because we are all people of the future generation, not animals. The animals of future generation will have to be reborn as people before they can have a share. The six patriarchs spoke this verse for people, not for animals. Animals who wish to become Buddha must first be reborn as a human being. We should not lose this opportunity. The true suchness self-nature is the true Buddha. The self-nature is your mind. Your true suchness self-nature is also called the real mark, the Tathagata's thought, the Buddha nature, and your own nature. So true suchness is just your own nature or your true nature, which is the true Buddha. So this one is easy to understand. That's the reason why in Mahayana they always have this verse. He says, every living being has a Buddha nature. You are, effectively, you are a Buddha. Where that Buddha nature is in you. From that true nature, the self nature, or the original nature, your form and mind come about. That's how you fall. You fall. And you cling on to the fire aggregate of form and mind or the living being, thinking that that is you. Then deviant views, the three poisons, are the demon king. That's why when you have wrong view, the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion will manifest. Then you are the demon king. If you know the true Buddha, you should also know the demon king. The demon king is just your deviant views, greed, hatred and delusion, the three poisons. Greed for riches, greed for sex, greed for anything at all is nothing but poison. If after you have left home, you are still greedy and self-seeking, that too is a poison. If you scheme to get more disciples, that is a poison. So this word self-seeking is very important. Means you are selfish. There is a self-seeking. Seeking for what? What do you seek? Well, a lot of people say, where do I seek enlightenment? Cannot, man? Cannot. What's wrong with you? He say, I seek enlightenment. Why? Wait, slowly. I seek enlightenment. Anything wrong with that? This seeking is, you say, if you seek for benefit, seek for advantage and all those things, maybe it's an evil root, understand or not? Then it's wrong. Well, what's wrong with seeking enlightenment?
I don't think we should say it this way.
Oh, okay. Then how should you say it?
We have to cultivate the Dharma and have a clear understanding. Then we will have the wisdom. Then we have to go through meditation. Then only we will see how we react, you see, how we think to change ourselves.
Okay. After that,
we have to keep on doing meditation until we can meditate up to the level of no thought, no mark, no dwelling.
Then what happened?
Then we will call you Anna.
Never mind. Never mind. Good try. Good try. Good try. Yeah. Wait, huh? Okay. That last Sunday we had sent one pen for refill. Did we send one pen for refill? I didn't. Then which is the pen that got in? Oh, okay. So which mean? Never mind. I use this one. You see, when you say I seek enlightenment, the problem is the ego is there. Okay. Then who seeks? The ego seeks. Wherever there is something seeking, you cannot realize the enlightenment. Because the enlightenment is cessation. It cannot be seeked. It's just like Krishnamurti say. The seeker is the sick. You know why he say this? Because you think there is a human being seeking enlightenment. But this enlightenment that the seeker seeks, you doesn't know what this is. This one is your true nature. This one is not a form of mind, it's not a thought. That's why he asked the question, what happens if the seeker is the sick? So what happened? You are seeking for the enlightenment which is within your nature. So how can you seek with the thought? The thought cannot find. That's why wherever there is an I, there is a seeker, you cannot find. Well, that thing is within that seeker. The seeker is a sick. That nature is within the seeker. That's why it has to be realized. That's why enlightenment, or they used to say, vipassana, is an insight. You understand this word or not? Vipassana. Is it double N or single N? Double S. Oh, okay. Double S. Vipassana. Cannot be? You cannot practice vipassana. Why? Vipassana cannot be practiced. Why? Because it is an you have to insight into it. It's an insight or awakening. And this is wisdom. That's why wisdom cannot be practiced. And this is wisdom. That's why wisdom is an understanding. It's not rigid. You cannot practice to be wise. You cannot practice wisdom. You can learn to have knowledge. You can practice to be skillful in something. You can practice to drive a car, to ride a bicycle, to play badminton. To be skillful in certain activity or game. That one you need to practice. Practice is repetitive. Understand? Whereas vipassana is the two words, we and pasana. We is the three universal characteristics. Pasana is to insight into these three universal characteristics. So to insight into it is a wisdom, is an awakening. You cannot practice that wisdom. You cannot practice to be wise. Nobody can teach you that. Even the Buddha cannot teach you wisdom. He says you have to walk the path. You have to realize it yourself. Enlightenment, awakening, is to be realized by the wise. Ish for? Means your form and mind that is connected to your true mind, that one awakened, then the wisdom will come about. You remember this tree or not? The source, then? What is the next one? After the source you come out? Pure awareness. Then only comes the phenomenal world. Mundane mind. Then only the phenomenal world of consciousness. So this one is the pure awareness. So this is how your mind comes out. So when you inside into phenomena, it's because this is your pure awareness or your true mind. So when this one awakens, what happens? When this true mind or the meditative mind or the silent mind awakens, what happens? You develop wisdom. That's why this wisdom will be there. And when this wisdom is connected to this form and mind, this form and mind is no longer deluded. Understand? That's how this one becomes enlightened, awakened. But this fellow is not you. Understand? This is where a lot of people cannot understand. That's why they say no one to be enlightened. No one born, no one sick, no one old, no one died. So this five aggregate of form and mind is impermanent, dependent originating, condition arising. So this one is the five aggregate of form and mind. So this one is impermanent, empty. Because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can call this is me, this is I. Therefore, you can own all these things. All this can be mine. So what you need to understand is the meditative training is to silence the mundane mind. Understand? To silence the mundane mind, to realize the true mind. So this is what meditation is all about. you can just relax away, maintain the silence. Then this silent mind will cease. When there is no more movement of the silent, of the mundane mind, then the true mind will arise. Then this one, when it has the understanding, it will insight into phenomena and awaken. Then, after that, the wisdom will be there. And it's only when the wisdom is there, because it's connected to this five aggregate of form and mind. That's the uniqueness of this meditation. Without the five aggregate of form and mind, you cannot come to this existential world. You understand? Where this is a vehicle and a tool for you to come. Without this five aggregate of form and mind, which is a vehicle and tool, your mundane mind cannot silence. You cannot realize the true mind. Then after this one ceases, is your self nature, the source, the true nature. That's why it has to come with the form and mind. That's the uniqueness. That's the reason why it's very difficult to continue your cultivation if you don't have the Bodhisattva way understanding. And not all Bodhisattva way can really make it. Because the understanding of this is very important. Like I explained, the five aggregate of form and mind. Take for example this line. You check. How long does it take you to understand all this? Understand, then meditate and connect. By the time you can do that, first understand, maybe 50-something years old. Then finally connect, maybe 60. Over already. So over already, you project your own time. Then after that, you have this wisdom. You know, this wisdom stay with this form of mind only, you know. How long? Let's say you live until 80. There is only 20 years. Assume you connect 60. And during this 20 years, if you don't get this wisdom and understanding firmly established and make vow, in future when you come, you will forget everything. And it takes you a long time to develop this understanding when there is no sasana. That's why it's not easy. Without the sasana, I realize a lot of cultivators, even bodhisattva, who doesn't have that ability to determine through their vow those right view and understanding, they get lost during the non-sasana. Then because of their parami, when the sasana come back, they have condition again, like most of you all. Most of you. So every time you wait for sasana, that few thousand years, Sakyamuni one last longer, no, about 4,500. But not all sasana has so long. Some sasana is very short. Some don't even have a proper sasana. That's why the Buddha actually discussed with Sariputta. I don't know whether it's in the Sixth Paitreya Sutta or where I read about it. Oh, sorry. It's in our that the Buddha and his teaching. The Buddha and his teaching. The Tuesday class. Remember? Sariputta discussed with the Buddha. He said, how come certain Buddha sasana is so short? Some longer. Some like that. So what are the reasons for all this? That's why the Sakyamuni Buddha actually briefed Sariputta. He said, if your emphasis is only on the Dhamma, then you overlook the Patimokkha, the setting up of the Sangha and all those things, then this one will disappear faster. Because you need the Sangha. But if the Sangha you allow the Bhikkhuni order to come in, it will be shortened again. Because the Buddha, through his ability to omniscient ability to look at the various world system, civilization. So he came to know all this. That's why he established this particular lineage of the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. And the Sangha is very important. Sangha are the noble disciples of the Buddha. So noble disciple means the enlightened disciple. It doesn't mean only the one with the robe. Understand? The one with the robe that is not enlightened is not the Aryan Sangha. They are also called a Sangha, but it's not the Aryan Sangha which the Buddha meant under the Triple Gem. Then the Aryan Sangha include lay disciples of the Buddha who are enlightened. So all this you will develop the understanding. So this is the reason why you need to have this understanding, to understand that the moment you have the condition, this window, make full use of it. Connect fast. Develop the realization, the awakening. Then with this understanding, make very, very firm affirmation. Adithana. Vows. Then this will bring forth the causes and conditions for this understanding to continue life after life. Whenever you choose to come or you have to come. Just like what I teach you all. Under the book, the blue book, cultivating the Bodhisattva way. And that is the reason why I say this window, if you get this right, make the necessary affirmation, then you are set for life. Means including all your future coming. You don't have to worry anymore. Okay? So with this, I think it's easy to understand the stanza by Huineng. So he said, people of the future who understand its meaning will see their original mind and realize the Buddha way. So when you see your original mind, means you not only realize your true mind, you realize cessation. You will have a glimpse of your self nature, which is your true nature. And that is what Nibbana is all about. The full cessation of form and mind, the realization of the unconditioned, the original nature, means the true nature before everything arises. They call it the what they call singularity. The scientists call it the singularity. But the Taoists, Laozi call it the Tao. The Tao, the source. Most people call it the source, but this is the beginning. From there, everything begins. That's why in Mahayana, they call it Pen Lai De Mian Mo. You know what is Pen Lai De Mian Mo? Original nature, the true nature, the source, the beginning. But this is the unconditioned. From here, everything comes about. That's why the Tao is the source of all things. Although in the opening statement of Laozi, whatever that can be described, interpreted or spoken, is not the true Tao. But then he said, nothing is apart from the Tao. That's why from the source, the Tao, the mind right things come about. That's why under the Tao symbol, you have the duality, the yin and the yang. Then within each duality, they also got their small dot of duality. So Huineng say, because of that stanza, that verse, people of the future, means cultivator of the future, including us, like what Xuanhua mentioned, when you read his verse or stanza, you will understand what he's trying to tell you. That I explained just now. You cultivate according to his teaching. You will go through no thought, no mind, then no dwelling. Then from there you will develop the wisdom required for it to cease. First you will realize the true mind. Then this true mind will keep on awakening to realize the other characteristics, the hallmark that he teaches. And after that, this whole thing will cease. You will realize your self nature. Then you will know the Buddha way. How to perfect that one to be the Sammasambuddha way. The Sammasambuddha. For those who can actually connect to this, and the mundane mind collapse, then only the Bodhisattva way starts. That's why you will know the Buddha way. You can develop this cultivation, this understanding. Otherwise, it's not easy. So this one is important. How, from the source, it manifests the pure awareness. So this one, they call it the beginning. The beginning. Then from this, the first thought of ignorance comes. The primordial darkness that bring about the mundane mind. Then this mundane mind becomes the five aggregate of form and mind. This one becomes the traveler in space and time. Then the knower becomes the living being. But this one is impermanent, you don't understand. This one is dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of knowing. This one is within the existential world. This one is the unconditioned. This one is the first movement. Still very pure, nothing. But this one can awaken. Can develop wisdom and understanding. But it cannot come up. You understand? This one cannot come out like this five aggregate of form and mind and become a living being, or human being. But this one is just pure awareness. Before the knowing, nothing. And you cannot say that this is a person. But this one is just the pure awareness. That essence of mind, the awareness nature, the pure awareness, it's just aware. Like who is aware of silence? The unconditioned, no need sense data, no need a ear, hearing organ to listen, no need contact of mind, nothing. But because it is the unconditioned, that's why this essence of mind can be aware of silence, aware of stillness, where there is no activity, nothing inside that. Then from here, it can awaken. Then when it awakens, it develops the wisdom connected to this five aggregate of form and mind. So this one is connected to this. But because living beings are lost in this, that's why the next two verse underneath the first two, he said, deviant views the three poisons, which are the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, are the demon king. So this one is very obvious. The moment you come out into the mundane mind, creation. This one has wrong view. You understand? That's why deviant view. The three evil roots. This one create the demon world. And because of the delusion, it attach and cling to the phenomenal. That's how it gets itself entangled. This is what samsara is all about. You understand? This is what the suffering world is all about. Phenomenal world of consciousness. Nothing else. Okay? So far, any question? Any question on this? Well, this part is very important. And we are coming to the end. That's why I have to explain this all over again. Any question? Oh, can you all understand? Very good. If you can understand, it's very good. Okay, then we continue. Page 415. Paragraph 2. Shen Hua said, we should not lose this opportunity, miss this window of opportunity. The true suchness self nature is the true Buddha. The self nature is your true mind. Your true suchness self nature is also called the real monk. The Tathagata stole the Buddha nature and your own original nature. These are the various names that people give. True suchness is just your own nature, which is the true Buddha. Then Huineng said, Xianhua said, deviant views, the three poison are the demon king. If you know the true Buddha, you should also know the demon king. The demon king is just your deviant views, your greed, hatred, and delusion, the three poison. Greed for riches, greed for sex, greed for anything at all. Is nothing but poison. So this is craving. If after you leave home, you are still greedy and self-seeking, that too is a poison. That's why the word here is self-seeking. If you scheme to get more disciples, that itself is an evil. So you see, you have been here for a long time, and not many have taken refuge and become disciples. Those who take refuge must do it on their own. No one advises them. If I told you to take refuge with me, you might wonder if I had the right to be your teacher and good knowing advisor. I don't know myself whether I'm a good knowing advisor. Also, I do not go about it in this way. So this is what Shenhua will do. He won't force you. If you have faith in him, you take refuge. Otherwise, you can take on your own. Then the next part of the sutta. At times of deviant confusion, the demon king is in the house. But when you have proper views, the Buddha is in the hall. The deviant views, the three poisons produced within the nature, are just demon king come to dwell in the house. Proper views, casting out three poisons of the mind, transform the demon into Buddha, not false. So this one is easy to understand. That's why I draw for you this figure, easy for you to understand. So what is important is, when wisdom is not connected, what happens? The demon stays inside. When wisdom is connected, the three evil root, the demon king, are all gone. That's why this wisdom were prevent the form and mind from being deluded. So this wisdom is very important. This is the awakening, the understanding. Without this, the evil roots are there. The demon will be the host. But when wisdom takes over, it will root out all the 10 fetters. The three evil roots will be gone. That's how the Buddha manifests. Then we read the commentary. Deviant confusion is ignorant. This is obvious. Ignorance creates love and desire. And that is the demon king dwelling in your house. Do you understand or not? Ignorance creates love and desire. This love is not metta. This love is desire, lust. selfishness. So ignorance creates love and desire, and that is the demon king dwelling in your mundane mind. If you have proper view and not the wrong view of greed, hatred, and delusion, then your mind is pure, and the Buddha is in the hall or within your nature. The Buddha and the demon are both manifested from your own nature. So it's from the same source. It manifests. When you hold demon views, the three evil roots arise, and the demon king comes to dwell in your house. What is your house? Your body. Actually, it's your body and your mundane mind. Proper view spontaneously expel the three evil roots or poison, and the demon immediately changes into Buddha. The principle is absolutely true. It cannot possibly be false. You need only hold proper views, and that is the Buddha. Improper view are the demon. So this is very straightforward. Then the next part of the sutta is Dhamma body, reward body, and transformation body. These three I think we have gone through. So the Dhamma body is the final outcome, Dhammakaya. Then the reward body is your what they call Nimanakaya. Then your this what they call transformation body is your Sambhogaya Kaya. Then when these two combine, it becomes the Dhammakaya. Fundamentally, the three bodies are one. Seeing that for yourself within your own nature is the Bodhi cause for realizing Buddhahood. The pure nature is originally produced from the transformation body. The pure nature is ever present within the transformation body. Once nature leads the transformation body down the right road, and in the future the full perfection is truly without end. So this one is quite easy to understand. So what happened here is this one, the five aggregate of form and mind is the reward body. I don't know why they call it the reward body. This is subject to karma. They will reward you if you do it correctly. Oh, pao shen. Fu pao de pao. No wonder. This one is actually the functional body. Functional body. The correct word should be functional body. Because the pao shen can be good and bad. Understand? Not necessarily reward. Understand? It's the functional body. So this one, that perform the function of a living being. You can use it to cultivate, to develop wisdom. Then this wisdom perfected become the transformation body. That's why this transformation body, once perfected and connected, what happened is this functional body together with the transformation body animate it into the Dhammakaya. The Dhammakaya, the Dhamma body. Means the functional body with the perfection of what they call spiritual nature or perfection of wisdom and virtue transform into a Dhamma body. Then it perform the function of a Buddha delivering the Dhamma. So this part, the reward body, is actually your functional body. Use it to meditate, to develop wisdom, then to perfect your, what they call, spiritual nature. Spiritual nature. To perfect, to perfect your spiritual nature, to perfect your spiritual nature. So this spiritual nature, like I explained last time, is in nature. Just like your karmic nature is within the nature's law. It's part of nature. But once you have perfected it, like Sakyamuni Buddha, 2,600 years ago when he came, under the Bodhi tree when he meditated, then he connected to the true mind, then he inherited this. That's how this spiritual nature, which Mahayana called the transformation body. This one connected to the five aggregate of form and mind, the functional body. And these two make the functional body a Sammasambuddha. He becomes the Sammasambuddha that teaches the Dhamma. Where this transformation body or spiritual nature has the wisdom, has the virtue, the perfection. And this is the one that the functional body of Sakyamuni Buddha used to teach the Dhamma. That's why it has all the understanding. So it's just like this particular life of my nature. This five aggregate of form and mind that you call Brother Teo is not me. But it's the functional body of my nature that calm. And since 1989, when my nature develops the meditation and connect, my nature starts to inherit the past cultivation, the perfection. Then it continues its perfection and cultivation. Then this perfection and cultivation, the spiritual nature that is connected to this form and mind, is the understanding and the wisdom and the virtue that this nature has. That's why this one can just straight from the heart share the understanding. It cannot use the brain. The brain don't have. The brain has knowledge. That's why it's direct from the nature, mind to mind. That's the reason why I used to share you a lot of the understanding that this nature has. I didn't learn this life. Then how did I know? It comes from the past. Cultivation. Perfection. So this is how you have to develop the understanding, then cultivate accordingly. Then like what Hui Ning has mentioned, seeing that for yourself within your own nature, when you develop the meditation, is the Bodhi cause for realizing Buddhahood. You will know this way is the Bodhisattva way to realize Sammasambuddhahood. Then the pure nature is originally produced from the transformation body. Because then, transformation body is your spiritual nature. Your spiritual nature has all the perfection of the spiritual quality. All of your virtue and wisdom come from there. That's why your pure nature is originally produced from this transformation body. Because without this spiritual nature, you cannot develop the pure nature to teach. Cannot. There is no way. You need this. That's why this is the source of your pure nature. When this is connected, it's just like this wisdom and virtue, your perfection, they are all connected. So when it's connected to this form and mind, this form and mind will inherit all this, and you will know how to share. You will know how to deliver whatever it's supposed to deliver when the condition is appropriate. According to vows and all those things, affinity and all those. Then the Buddha said, the pure nature is ever present within the when you have perfected that spiritual nature, that's why that spiritual nature, or what they call transformation body, it's not like karmic nature. No. The moment you born, you inherit one. This one you cannot inherit one. Even though you perfected it from your past birth or cultivation, but this one got a condition. If as long as you come to this existential world, you don't know how to connect. You don't know how to assist the mundane mind to realize the true mind, this transformation body or spiritual nature cannot come back to you. You cannot inherit. That's the uniqueness. That's why it's not easy. That's why even before Hui Ning or Sakyamuni Bodhisattva at that time, before he is 35 years old underneath the Bodhi tree, he is still like an ordinary human being. That's why Hui Ning was illiterate, Mukata. He is like a normal human being. Nothing special. Until he awakened and connected. So this is how the whole process of cultivation is to be understood. And this part, very few cultivators understand. Very few people understand. And this is not easy. Then the next one is, once nature leads the transformation body down the right road. You know what is your nature? Your nature is your true nature. And this one will lead the transformation body down the right road. Means it will not go wrong. Because your nature will know what the perfection is all about. And in the future, the full perfection is truly without end. Remember what I told you? Wisdom is unending. You cannot say you have mastered all wisdom. But there is such thing as a prajna paramita, perfection of wisdom. Perfection of wisdom means all of wisdom that you need to cultivate, you already cultivated. So that's why the Sammasambuddha has that perfection. That's why whatever that can be known and understood, the Sammasambuddha has. But as far as wisdom is concerned, it's unending. And the reason why it's unending is because civilization continues to evolve. And different period, different civilization, more sophisticated. And every civilization demand new type of wisdom to deal with the condition there. But when the Sammasambuddha has perfected the perfection of wisdom, no matter what civilization, what era they come, they will know how to fit in. That's the reason why those who cultivate the Ten Perfections, once they have perfected the Prajna Paramita, Sutta. Oh, Prajna Paramita means perfection of wisdom. They will have no more problem. That's the reason why the third vow. You remember the third vow? The four bodhisattva vow? What is the third vow? To penetrate and realize all Dhamma. That is the perfection of wisdom. Once you finish that, then the fourth vow can be easily perfected. Means cultivate the 10 perfection. Whereas you do the first and the second, you already cultivate quite a lot of perfection. And you need most of the perfection already. Then the third vow completes the perfection of wisdom. Prajna Paramita. And with that, the fourth vow will be carried through very fast, very easily. It's a matter of time. Okay, we go through the commentary. Although spoken as three, the clear pure Dhamma body, the perfect full reward body, and the 100,000 myriads of transformation body are fundamentally one. The three body are simply transformation of your one body. This is called three in one. One in three. Not your at-home one, your Nescafe three in one. That one is different. Your seeing for yourself, the true Buddha within yourself, nature, is a cause for the future realization of Buddhahood. He is the seed of Buddhahood. Having planted the Bodhi seed, you will certainly reap the Bodhi fruit and become a Buddha. This is quite similar to what I explained to you. The clear pure self nature originally arises from the transformation body. Your pure self nature, your pure Dhamma body, is within your transformation body. In the future, your Bodhi self nature will be perfected. And the perfect full reward body will be truly inexhaustible. So this one is Xuan Huang's explanation. He said the three body are actually one. In a certain sense, it's correct. Because finally, when you realize Sammasambuddha Buddhahood, the three body become one. You understand that? Because you have this functional body. So your functional body. That's why the English translation is better. You have to add to your spiritual nature. Then when these two bodies, or spiritual nature or your transformation body, so when this one you inherit and come together and combine with this functional body, then it gives rise to the Dhammakaya. So this is the Dhamma body. That's how Sakyamuni Buddha, the fully enlightened one, speaks the Dhamma. But in actual fact, this functional body is every segment of life you come, you have this. Understand? And this one is, to me, follow karma. If you need to come to existential world, you need this functional body. This is also what we call the karmically conditioned. karmically conditioned. Five aggregate of form and mind. So this is your fine aggregate of form and mind. You have to come with this. Without this, you cannot come to the existential world. When this one arises, then only you can make use of this functional body to meditate. You have to silence the mundane mind to realize the true mind. So when you realize the true mind, this true mind can awaken and realize the wisdom. You understand? Then this wisdom will connect you back to the spiritual nature. And this is how you inherit. And this one cannot come direct. It has to go to this true mind. That's why it's not easy. Whereas the coming nature, straight away the moment you are born, the Buddha says, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma. So this is subject to karma. Okay? So this one you have to write. Subject to karma. This one is subject to karma. Then when this functional body comes, when you know how to meditate, connect, then develop the wisdom, then only it helps to develop the transformation body or the spiritual nature. Then whatever wisdom, perfection and understanding you develop through this form and mind, for that particular segment of life, they will accumulate into your spiritual nature. And this nature will continue to grow. You have to perfect your spiritual nature. The Bodhisattva has to perfect this until it reaches perfection. So it is not three in one. Three in one only happened during full enlightenment of Shakyamuni Buddha. Okay? So all the three bodies are different bodies. This one, every segment you come, segmented life, there is one function. And this one is a lot, countless. Then this one is like your spiritual, your coming nature, is a spiritual nature. It's recorded in nature. You have to perfect that, Like I used to tell you, this wisdom, the moment you develop it, you don't have to remember it. Understand? It's always there. Because wisdom, you cannot learn. The moment it's awakened, it's awakened in your nature. You understand? It's awakened in your nature. Your nature will understand. But your brain cannot understand. That's why your brain tries to recall through memory. Forget about it. If you do that, it becomes knowledge. That is not the wisdom way. The wisdom way is no need to know anything. Because when you encounter a situation, the understanding will come out by itself. You have the real awakening. And there is no fear, nothing. You will know what this thing is very clearly. But it cannot remember. When there is no condition, it may not come out. The only difference is When your wisdom has been developed until it is very stable, means when you reach the fruition, remember? Path and fruition. When you reach the fruition, then it's different. Then you don't have to remember. And yet, you can share. Before you reach the fruition, you cannot share. It's like You don't know how to explain to people. You yourself understand, but you cannot explain to people. So this part, the spiritual nature or transformation body, this one take a longer time. They call this Sambhogayakaya in the Pali, what they call Theravada teaching. So Theravada teaching, this is called Nimana, Nimanakaya. This one is Nimanakaya. So this Nimanakaya is the functional body. Then this one is the Sambhogayakaya. Then this one is the Dhammakaya. Okay. I think by now it should be very clear. We are coming to the end, so I have to share with you all whatever you all need to know, so that you will know how to develop that cultivation in the future. Okay. So far, any questions? Any questions? Anybody got anything you want to ask? Ten more pages. We finish. We are now 418. The last page is 428, so 10 more pages, I think another 2 or 3 sessions. Do you all have any questions? We still got about 10 minutes for Q&A before we go to the meditation. You don't have questions? Okay, then maybe we finish off page 418. The root cause of purity is the... How come they use the word last? It's the last nature. For one root of last, the substance of the nature is pure. Each of you, within your nature, abandon the five desires, and in an instant see your nature. It is true. Here, they use the English word lust wrongly. It should be craving. So the root cause of purity is the craving nature. Because of craving, all the delusions come to be. So when you root out craving, that's why it's called the root cause. Then purity comes to be. The absence of craving is the realization. Okay, we read the commentary. Everyone has sexual desire, but you do not need to be afraid of it. The Surangama Sutta we read about Uchusma, the firehead Vajra, whose sexual desire was unbearably intense when he first began to cultivate, but he was able to discipline the temple of the fire of lust. Transforming it into the fire of wisdom, and transforming himself into the firehead Vajra. The root cause of purity is the last nature. Proper thoughts are the cause of purity in the nature. The deviant thought, the cause of purity. Therefore, cut off the nature of sexual desire, which means transforming. This certainly is not telling you to castrate yourself. That's not the answer. Just change your thought and make them pure in nature. You don't have to cut off sexual desire. Don't cut it off. Transform it instead. Transform lust into purity, which is simply proper knowledge and proper view. The lust within the nature is simply deviant knowledge and deviant views. Once rid of lust, the substance of the nature is pure. To get rid of lust means to transform. You don't have to throw it away. All you have to do is to transform. You don't have to throw it away. All you have to do is change your thought and direct them to the pure nature. That is the clear, pure substance of the self nature, the Dhamma body. The five desires are for wealth, sex, fame, food and sleep. They may also be explained as form, sound, smell, taste, tactile object and object of the mind. In general, stay far away from them. Do not have deviant thoughts within your self nature. Cultivate proper knowledge and proper views, and abandon the five desires. Once you leave the five desires, you can see the nature in an instant and obtain your own true suchness, wonderful nature. So this is Shen Hua's commentary, explanation. But one thing that you need to understand, which my nature always emphasizes, wisdom. Forget about all the words that he tell you to do. Like he say, all you have to do is to transform it. Then he also used the other word. The root cause of purity is the lust nature. So he said, use proper thought are the cause of purity in the nature. The deviant thought, the cause of impurity. But do you recall what Hui Ning used to say? These are still duality, you understand? Proper thought and deviant thought. So duality, you cannot do away, understand? You every time want to arise right thought, then you want to push away wrong thought. That is not the way. To transcend duality, you have to understand originally there was nothing. Where can the dust align? So the understanding is within the conditioned world, there will be duality. Duality exists in the conditioned world. But within the unconditioned, when you realize, there is no duality. Understand? Thing is just the way it is. No right thought, no wrong thought. Because thought is just thought. Thought is neither good or evil. When there is delusion, the user of thought, that's why I always teach you. The user of thought must have wisdom. So without wisdom, you cannot do what Shen Hua tell you to do. Understand? Arise only right thought. Don't arise the wrong thought. You cannot. Without wisdom, your user of thought will be deluded. That's why before you become enlightened, you cannot have right thought. No way. So the initial cultivation of the four right effort is thought based. That one you have to do it because the conditioning is very strong. Because you have not developed the wisdom, the heedfulness, the mindfulness. So that one you have to be aware. Once you're aware, you have to use the five ways to abandon it. Understand or not? So the first two ways is still thought-based, remember? Think of the direct opposite wholesome thought, think of the consequence. The third way is the meditative way. Understand? But that one don't have wisdom. That one only teach you how to cease it. You just silent, relax, away. Then it will cease to be. But every time you have a problem, you have to go and do that meditation. That's why that is not ultimate. The third way is still meditative, but not the wisdom way. That's why the Buddha said the fourth way, trace the origination factor, then retrospectively reverse it. And then after that, it cannot arise again. That's why you don't have to do anything. The moment you understand, it does not have power over you. It cannot arise. It will just cease. That's why feeling will remain as pure feeling. It will not be conditioned into craving. You don't wait until it conditioned into craving, then arise the right effort to abandon it. That means you are still doing the training. You are still training. You haven't developed the understanding. That's why you have to arise the right effort to abandon through the five ways. Yeah. But after you have developed the wisdom, all this, no more. You don't do it anymore. But the understanding liberate and free. And the understanding is very clear. That's the reason why my nature always share you all. Wisdom, yoniso manasikara. Wisdom at the moment of sense experience. You have means you have. You don't have means you don't have. You cannot cut a feeling. Without the yoniso manasikara and wisdom, feeling immediately become craving. But when the wisdom is already there, it will stay there. It will not carry over. That's how the cultivation becomes so beautiful. That's the reason why a lot of people who don't understand, they teach you funny things. They say, learn to cut at feeling. Then, learn to practice letting go. Practice non-attachment. We have got such practice. As long as the form and mind, the user of thought, don't have wisdom, you cannot. Who practices? The person who don't understand practice, understand now. Why do you practice? Because I have to learn, understand now. I have to learn how to let go. You follow? I have to learn how to not to attach. Means you don't have the wisdom. That's how you want to practice. And who practice? The one who hold, try to let go. The one who cling, try not to cling. And it is delusion. It cannot be done. So wisdom need to be developed, awakened to. Then no need to practice. That's why vipassana cannot be practiced. Vipassana is an insight, awakening, wisdom. When you insight into phenomena, the wisdom understanding will arise. Then that will free your mind. You don't go and practice vipassana. Because vipassana is not something that you have to practice and learn. There is a wisdom. It's not a knowledge. You cannot practice, you cannot learn. So this part is most important. Okay. We end here. So that you can have your half an hour of meditation. So we stop at page 419. Okay. You can have your meditation. Half an hour. again slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Then try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, inner mindfulness and inner awareness within for as long as you can. Then stabilize all this beautiful mind state and go into the daily mindfulness. Develop the stability of daily mindfulness to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path in daily life, especially the four foundation of mindfulness. Okay, now we will open up for meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you have. So anybody wants to report meditation and ask whatever Dhamma question, you can raise your hand, we will pass you the mic. Anybody? As usual, no question. It's better for you to make full use of whatever session available, so that you can arise the condition for Dhamma to be explained. Otherwise, you may not learn. Anybody? Otherwise, we get some of them to report the spiritual trip experience. We get Queenie. We just came back from our recent spiritual trip to China, Shangri-La, to collect Dali, Kunming.
We just got back on Sunday night from spiritual tour to Lijiang.
Lijiang, yes.
Actually, it's practically many places to visit.
Very kind and very conducive. The first day, because the show is meant to be that place is always raining. Then the area is, I think, near the lake, so a lot of rain, and it's also during the rainy season. So only the first day where we attended, there is an open air show, and we were given raincoat. So it was a good experience to go through the show in the rain with the raincoat. Very good. Apart from that, all the way, everything was beautiful.
And the hotels were very well sought out. The hotels are very good.
The food also, a lot of wonderful food.
Yeah, a lot of wonderful food.
This trip is very different.
Very different.
We also have so many tour guides. This particular trip, almost everywhere we go, we got two local tour guides and one Malaysia side, Mr. So we got three tour guides at any one time.
And when we went to the Tiger Leaping Gorge, you enjoy it.
The rolling water, very strong.
Can you just on the
Yes. Correct, correct. And the vibration. Oh, very, very strong. They call it the rolling water. The waterfall together with the gosh. That's all. Okay. So who else haven't shared? Let Adeline share. Yes.
Good afternoon, Brother.
Yes.
Since Winnie is touching on the tiger leaping gorge, I just want to share my experience there. Full of Dharma.
Good. Very good.
We were walking down until the almost the lowest end. There's one
level.
Point where there's a rapid water.
Very rapid.
I just feel like I need to meditate there.
The nature.
I just enjoy the nature.
The energy. Very different.
So we just stand, me and Elsie, we just stand at the railing, you know, put our hand there. There's a lot of people.
A lot of people.
You know, the China people, they talk, they want everything. So when we just meditating there, the sound are all very far away.
The noise
of the people.
Yes.
We can only hear the roaring water sound.
And some ripple.
The moment you close your eyes, you can just be in a totally different world.
You are in a meditative state.
Then your nature can take in everything.
Then it's just silent. That's why within that silence, your meditative mind is very different. The mind is very different. That's why you have to experience all this. Otherwise you cannot understand. Very good.
Just for a few minutes, then I opened up my eyes. Then I saw the rushing water, the rapid water.
So you can see that
it's full of bubbles. Okay, and then a lot of dharmas came. Okay. Then you can see that it's something like the water is pouring. Something like a whirlpool.
Yes.
Then I just feel like, then you can see some tree branches, some relief. They are trapped there.
Okay.
Then this word come to me. Isn't it this is the samsaric world
that we are in?
Okay. So if we hold on to all this fame, wealth, all this materialistic thing,
you will be trapped there.
So it will be round and round, we can't escape.
So, you know, it's just like this world is something like a Rumong.
Rumong Huan Pao. Exactly described.
Rulu Yu Tian.
So, if you can pass through this stage, then after that, there'll be a very still.
So, isn't it beautiful Dharma? You see the transformation of nature. Nature within is what they call most violent situation. They call it the rolling water. And also, because the way the gorge, the formation, there is a waterfall from high up in the mountain, all this mountain water, very pure, beautiful water, very clean. They gush down, then they meet at a gorge, which is very narrow. Then this gorge caused the water with a lot of energy to sway, to spin, to roll. That's how you can feel the vibration, everything. And it's like aircon, like what Queenie described. the wind condition and all, then you can feel the water vapor and all those things. So that nature itself is very beautiful. When you're silent, truth is everywhere, Dhamma is everywhere. You will perceive them. You can experience them, and they are very, very beautiful. Then, like Elsie shared with us, when she was young, she used to fear waterfall because very loud. Then the waterfall from the water from the waterfall is actually very pouring, very heavy and pouring. Then, when she went down to the gorge, she said, normally there is fear. But this time, not only no fear, she finds it so different, so beautiful. She can just stand there, silent her mind, and just meditate. And they love what they went through. This is how you experience your mind. Your mind, when you're silent, is very different. As I had the two of them, Adeline said, the moment she's silent, she's in a meditative state. Because for that, the daily mindfulness is already there. That's all you can do. And you can silent anytime. That's the reason why Sakyamuni Buddha said, when you have trained your mind, you can be in the state of meditation or samadhi in a meditative state at all times. You don't have to prepare yourself to be in a samadhi state. Samadhi is with you because your daily mindfulness is already very stabilized. And you can do a lot of things. That's why it's very beautiful. Jinhao, the short note, did you put it inside there? That's the recent one today. Yesterday I sent out. Oh, heaven. Never mind. Otherwise, we can read to you the sharing last Thursday. Never mind. It's okay. Don't worry. Let them read later. Anything else, Adeline? What about the temple visit and all those things?
Last time I always feel that many people say, hey, the energy very good. I told PG, I said, I cannot feel.
Never mind, you just speak.
I cannot feel energy. Then after that, I have to trust this nature. I think I have more and more trust in this nature.
Then you have more faith and more trust, and you're silent. Then you realize you can feel, because your nature has already opened up. And you can send them.
I want to meditate.
You will know. It's very conducive for meditation. You will draw the energy there. And this is what your nature needs. Also your affinity with those beings who are there, their nature. And also the energy. That's a spiritual trip when you have the understanding, the faith, the mindfulness. You will benefit a lot. Not only you get to rejoice, you get to strengthen and deepen your faith. Then you get to learn a lot of new things, which you never learn in the Dhamma book. Because this spiritual tree can open up your mind, open up your understanding, open up your nature. And there is a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of benefit that comes with it. Actually, we did a lot of wholesomeness along the way. We rejoiced. Apart from the good food, good hotel, good weather, good nature, and all those things. Our Dhamma sharing every night. Not every night, most of the night. Then also, what we went through, all the temple visit and all those things, the activity that we do. Especially at the nunnery. The nunnery was very beautiful. Then also at that place where Xu Yun Lao He Sang, where the relics was there. Then we had a visit to the stupa, the museum, where all his historical records were there. So you have the book, autobiography of Xue Lao He San by Xuan Hua. Xuan Hua also have a lot of his photo. So it's exactly the same. What I saw there was exactly the same as the one on the book. And Xu Yin was very, very famous because he was the one, the monk, that is instrumental for bringing back Mahayana Buddhism, reviving Mahayana Buddhism back from the Cultural Revolution when China opened up, especially after the passing away of Mao Zedong in 1975. Then according to the Chinese tour guide, is it, from that year onward, they opened up. In the year 1978, Chao Enlai, together with Deng Xiaoping, they opened up China. That's the time he restored a lot of temple, rebuilt a lot of temple. And he did a lot of hard work to gather all the monks. Then he advised the government to set up the like a Buddhist council for the whole of China, including the Tibetan representative and all the other Buddhist representative all over China. That's how China has very strong Dharma base. Then out of the population of 1.3 billion, according to the guide, during the Cultural Revolution, most of them have got no religion. That's why she said 950 million is without religion. Only 350 million claim to have religion. And of the 350 million, 60% is Buddhist, 20% is Taoist. Then you have some Muslim and Christian. Then the rest are minority tribal groups with what they call simple religion, or they call primitive religion, animism. So it was indeed a very, very experience to be there, to understand all this, and how the people of China feel, how the minority race of Tibetan descendants who live at Shangri-La and Dukulai, they are thinking, their what they call culture, their belief system, and how they think and how they feel. They have great gratitude towards the Chinese Communist Party, especially Mao Zedong. Their life became so much better after Chairman Mao and the Communist Party helped them together with the Panchen Lama to take back their land and return the land to the people, the masses. And ever since then until today, their life has improved tremendously. That's why a lot of these things we don't know until we are there. So apart from Dhamma, we learn about other things too. And life itself is Dhamma. So when you see all this, you understand why the Buddha said, right and riches is a fetter that binds living beings to this world. Then also we discuss about the practice, the cultivation because of conditions. I remember Brother Song, the first night sharing, he came early there. Then they asked very good questions. He asked, I remember something like that. How come now it's so different? When he was there, he said his awareness was like automatic. He can see all the people with all the heedlessness, their problem, their suffering, their mind states, their conditioning and all those things. I say, yes, very good. Because as you progress along the path of Dhamma, as you transform, you become more and more heedful, more and more mindful, more and more aware. you hardly think anymore. That's why the awareness can allow you to be aware of all this. Then initially he doesn't quite understand. He said he felt like he pitied them and all those things. I said this is just a passing phase. The real understanding is when the mind transforms and becomes more heedful and aware. It is most of the time aware. The mind is just aware. That's why this awareness can allow you to see all this, understand all this, be sensitive to all this. Yeah. Then we went and visit one tribal group that night, the first night I remember. It was like a theater. A few shop lords, they convert into a big theater. A lot of very noisy music. Then they got a lot of activity there, the band and all those things. Then they got this cultural dance of their local people. They also sing song and all those things. Then you can test your nature when you are there. In the midst of all this activity, sound, vibration, noise, music, can you still maintain your heedfulness, your silence, your stillness? Then can you be drawn by the beautiful costume, the excitement that they were able to arise in front of you? Then how do your mind actually behave? This is what you will be able to experience and go through. And this is part and parcel of cultivation. And when you are on the right path, your mind becomes different. You can understand all this. And there is so much joy, so much understanding unfolding. So this is what spiritual trip is all about. Not just go and enjoy the food, the hotel, have all the good time, the laughter. Of course, you do a lot of wholesomeness. But you, at the same time, develop a lot of faith, a lot of sadha, virya. Then you exercise mindfulness training. You train your mind, you meditate. You listen to Dhamma, you straighten your view, you do your puja, you keep your precept. You straighten your view. Then you provide assistance, service and help to Kayanamita who has motion sickness, like PG. I think Ponchi helped her quite a bit. And there are other people who also help her. So this is what Kayanamita ship is all about. You must have good Kayanamita who have the Dhamma, the understanding, to actually help out in situation. For they have the Dhamma, they are not selfish. They will do whatever they can. Then as you climb the mountain, you see how your physical body is being moved. How through mindfulness, heedfulness, understanding, you can develop the patient endurance as you go out. Then how you actually get to experience all of the beauty and wonders of nature, the good energy, the good vibration. Then all of the temple set up. You get to develop and understand them. Then you get to be there. You really feel yourself there, the presence. You are not lost in thought. You can feel everything. You can understand everything. You can just silent most of the time, even when you travel or whatever. Then you have a lot of joy. You will count your blessings. And this time around, very beautiful. Today, I think Brother Dew sent to me. We just upload the whole photo and video of this trip onto our website. You go to Shangri-La Tour or Lijiang Shangri-La Tour. You click on it, you will see all the photos. And this is a very good website because it will allow you to recall all your spiritual trips that you have gone with us. Even those who have not gone with us. As part of the Kayanamita, you also get to reap a lot of wholesome. You can rejoice. Then when you look at all these things, you are proud that this life you have lived, the full life, the beautiful life, you have spent it well. You have put in so much condition for you to go through all this. Because every of these spiritual trip and even our classes, there is so much Dhamma, so much wholesomeness. You almost get to cultivate all the 10 meritorious actions, and you get to do all those wholesomeness that normal people don't do, where you cannot even do with money. Because you need to have the understanding and the condition. And you reflect back, you will have a lot of joy that your former mind, this life, this segmented life, have the condition to go for so many of these spiritual trips and did so much of this spiritual activity and Dhamma. This one will give you a lot of joy, a lot of understanding. And you will count your good blessings, how you were able to do all this, which normal people cannot. They don't have the condition. And these are very unique, beautiful Dhamma activity, especially the spiritual trip with all the Dhamma that we share, and also even our annual gathering of Kayanamita, our annual Cameron Highland retreat. You can see the photo. And you will recall the wholesomeness that you did over the 9 days of retreat, meditative condition. Then we also have our monthly house dana, a mini gathering of Kayanamita, celebration of fellowship. Then we also have our whatever trip. Then condition arise, we will go like our trip to Sumeru and our trip to the various way places that Kayanamita organized. Even our trip to Kelantan 1 or 2 years ago, we visited many Buddhist temples too. And we actually went to Metarama, if I'm not wrong. And this place is beautiful. It was Sui An and Mi Fong that proposed the idea, and it turned out to be so beautiful. Not only you get to experience the Kelantan culture, the Kelantan food, you get to experience a lot of things in Kelantan. Their hotel, their food, their local tradition, their local people. Especially the Kelantanese food, the Malay food. And Mi Fong is local in her hometown. That's why she took us to many places together with Sui An. We have good condition. Then we met many monks too. So these are the things that you get to partake. And this is what I mean by having the condition to do all this. And this will come with understanding, the joy. Then you will thank your good nature. You will rejoice with your good karma, your wholesomeness. Your affinity with the Triple Gem, to be able to be part of the calamity group. So all these are very meaningful. Very beautiful. When you're free, do go to the website. Go through review. You will have a lot of understanding. Enjoy. So this is the part I just want to add in so that you all can understand the meaning of all this activity that we do, especially our spiritual trip. Like I explained in the early days or in the briefing, my nature during the early year of my cultivation, I benefited a lot from this spiritual trip. That's why I went on a lot of this spiritual trip. That time, I just go. And most of the spiritual trip that I went, I met a lot of great monks, a lot of great teachers. Then cultivate a lot of affinity. Then a lot of these places are like meant to be. Things will unfold. Then things will happen. Like I used to say, initially I don't know why I need to go. Then later I know why I need to go, especially when I was there, the condition unfold. Then later on, before I go, I already felt. And I already knew why I have to go. Then when I am there, a lot of things will happen and fall. That's why spiritual trips are very unique, very beautiful. Those who have gone with us, they will know. It's very beautiful. Okay? Anything else? Adeline? Yes, she was hesitating. Then finally she decided to go, which was very good, meant to be.
Throughout the trip, just feel the gratitude. So blessed with karma.
So blessed with the karma, yeah, without Dhamma, you don't get to enjoy it or feel it that way. It's different, very different. That's why when you travel on this spiritual trip with Dhamma, with the understanding, with the faith, with the Saddha Virya, with the Sati mindfulness, then with the Dhamma understanding, you are different. You become so beautiful. You really become so beautiful.
And we are so blessed with good teachers.
Yeah.
Always guide us.
Very, very useful. And the collective consciousness when we are together, when we travel together, when we sleep in the same place, the same hotel, and other things, you all may not know what happened, but a lot of things happen. Especially when you climb the mountain, when you become very tired, then you come back, you just drop flat and rest. That is the time your nature draws, I tell you. That is your time your nature draws. Your nature can draw from my nature. When you have the spiritual faculty, you will draw a lot from my nature. Without you knowing it. That's why through listening, through attentively, silently meditating on what, when you have the spiritual faculties, when you have the faith, you will draw. You will draw. Without you knowing it. And it will already activate your nature, your lotus point. That's how you can feel after that. After that, it's like your this heart area open up. Then you can detect energy. You can become a lot more sensitive. Then Dhamma keep on arising, appearing. Because your mind state has transformed. And without you knowing it, the mindfulness will develop on its own when your faith is very strong. If you do your religious routine as per what I advise you or instruct you on, you will progress very fast. then the first phase of Dhamma Pariyatti, read through, understand, develop the clearness, then put it to practice, cultivate, develop daily mindfulness, make the aspiration, make the vow. You will progress beautifully. And this is the most beautiful window that you ever had. Very good. Sadhu to you. Queenie also maybe learning. It is only your second or third trip. But she take it like bonus already at the age of 70. Can encounter Dhamma, she's full of joy. That's why she keep on joining us. But she come more for fun, the joy. But she also have good faith. The only thing is your understanding of the cultivation. Slowly, you will deepen. Then you will get to understand like Adeline, they all. Okay, anything else? Nothing. Envy, you want to share? I get Envy to share this. Wow, popular demand. Okay, cheer. She got to attend another what Tichang Wang.
Good afternoon, Radio. This is still an Australian minister. Before I do a little bit of sharing, I must remind that Mr. Sim Ahyok must share, our Vivian must share. Two of them also join us. Not enough. Must be a big impact on you, right? Since Sister Adeline was talking about leaping gorge, I share my experience there. Basically, I have two feelings when I was there. First was when we were down there near the tiger statue, at the base, there's a platform where they have all those description.
Correct, the writing, and all those things, what are all those knocks for the lucky knocks, that part is very near to that roaring water, the vapor, the sprinkling effect of the gushing water.
So after taking so much photo and video, so I just stand there and then feel the water.
You silence your mind, the hearing, very different, the tactile sensation, the smell also, all the nature's good vibration, like your heart open up and draw. And within the silence, there is so much thing. That's why when you silence your mind, it's completely different, not what you think. It's not imagination, no. Silence means no thought, no. And you experience all these things with the silent mind, with the true mind. That's why it's very deep. Then after that, you can recall through memory. Understand? But when it is there, it's different. Initially, when you experience it, the word can still come about. Understand? But don't worry, just let it be. Then the next time when you are more stable, more experienced, you stay with the experience without the word. You just with the awareness. Then you find out. Just like when you take your bow, I say, close your eye and find out what actually happened. Your true sensation, your true nature's awareness. Awareness and perception are different. The very moment you know, you perceive. But when you are aware, that moment you don't perceive. That moment your nature and the phenomena is one. No word, nothing. It's so beautiful. But we got to share, that's why we got to express it out in words. Especially when I am there during the early day. I mean, not at this place. All the way place I go to spiritual field. My nature draws so much energy. The early years, I already came to China. 1996. There was one trip where I'm not supposed to go, but my company sent me. And not even a spiritual trip, you know, but all those places I go, I can detect their energy, you know, it's meant to be. You know. Because that trip very funny. You know. They arranged me to land at Shenzhen, then Guangdong. Then I fly to Beijing. After Beijing, I go to Xi'an. Xi'an there also very beautiful. Then from Xi'an, I went to Guilin, your mother's birthplace. Wow, that place is really beautiful. The mountain, the energy, everything inside there. That's why all the four places, the energy are different. Shenzhen and Guangzhou is city type vibe. Beijing is the ancient one, where the emperor and a lot of war and killing. Xi'an also. Qin Shi Huang and all that, but a lot of historical nature. I like Guilin. Guilin San Sui Jia Tian Si are really beautiful. I went into the cave, I can feel a lot of things. That's why that time my nature keep on rejoicing and open up. Very good. Okay, continue.
Correction. Guilin is not the birthplace of my mother. My mother's name.
Name after that. Okay.
Because my grandfather was from China.
I think
he must have
the name.
Love the Guilin so much.
Because when you were with me at the Guilin tree, I remember you mentioned something about your mother. Oh, it's the name. Yeah, sorry. Thank you for correcting. Very good.
She was born in Selangor.
So her name is related to the place. That's why you say you must go. And that trip, the way she make it, is really one of the very special conditions. Because she got to attend the funeral of her in-law. Then she thought cannot go. Then last minute, surprisingly, everything fall into place. The whole family gave encouragement, and she texts me, Brother Teo, I'm on the way to the airport. And not easy, you know, he didn't go from Selangor, no, he go from Perak. Took the train, and the daughter booked the train ticket for her, and all those things. That's why it was. And when she reached the airport, there was so much joy. And that trip, she really benefited so much. Very beautiful.
Liu Zhu trip.
Sadhu.
What else? Because I felt that if I take too many photos, come back is a memory. When I am there, I better enjoy.
Experience the nature and everything. I feel you are really there. You are really there. Miss the present. The present. The whole nature, your whole being is there. And you will never forget one. Because you are there with that type of mindfulness, awareness. Very different one. And most people go there like Ng Bi say, excited, take picture, photo, blah, blah. Actually, you never there. Your thought is there. But you are not physically there. Because you don't feel anything. Then come back, it's only memory. Memory. When I'm there, I feel. Everything I feel. I try to understand. How is it like? The vibration. Then I silent. Then the hotel I went in, say, the city, the town. I feel. That's why it's different. The way you understand and you experience that and live the life, the beautiful life, very different. Good, continue.
So when I'm absorbed in that environment, so if what variety is, you say this is how we draw from that nature.
So beautiful.
I understand what do you mean?
Because your nature can draw already by now. her nature can draw it. Because this one is very strong. Very strong. That's why when you cultivate, this one will open up without you knowing it. But the cultivator will understand. The form and mind, you experience it. And you know what energy is. And you can really feel it. And this one keep on operating. Opening, evolving, developing, and it's ever active, moving. It's not static. The nature within is active, but it is silent, very beautiful, very beautiful. You cannot describe. Yeah, this is not word. Very good, sadhu.
Beyond words.
You can't understand.
When you come back,
when you come back, it's memory. Because you feel it, you can recollect, and it's very clear. And what you recollect is really at that moment when you are there. That's why it's very, very different. Not what people think.
And at different spots, you can see the forcefulness of the water power.
Yes.
If those people are dying in the tsunami,
correct. Yes. How they will be swept away. How they will be swept away and all. And everything happens so fast. That's why within the moment, life is so fleeting.
Fragile, fleeting.
Just gone like that. Because this form and mind is very fragile, vulnerable, very fleeting. Not what you think. And this is not you. This one is the vehicle for you to come. When this is gone, your vehicle is gone. Your nature all not connected anymore. Even the wisdom that is connected also gone. Gone with it. Yeah, that wisdom that is connected. Stay with that form and mind. When that form and mind disperse, that one also disperse. But it's not lost. It's in your spiritual nature. But you cannot inherit until you come again and connect. That's why the spiritual cultivation is not easy. Not until you know how to meditate, to silence your mind, to connect, you cannot inherit. That's it. You have to time without you. You understand, when you understand, we talk differently, we understand each other differently. It's just like my second last teacher. He liked to talk to me. He said, this whole universe, two of us enough to talk to him. He can't find anybody who can talk to him. Same frequency, you can talk to him. What about the temple visit?
Before that, I had two. On the journey, climb up. Because we were going down over the place. When we want to come back to the meeting area, we had to climb up again. So from there, I felt gratitude to these people who make the place safe for us to be there. How they construct the steps, how they construct the platform.
Very well planned, very meticulous and well planned.
Through so much hardship, a lot of safety.
That whole area was very well built. Yes, very well built.
So I felt gratitude to them. Say thank you to them for me to experience such a wonderful nature.
That's why when you have Dhamma, the gratitude is automatic. You don't have to learn to have this gratitude. No need. It expresses itself. That compassion, that love, that gratitude, that joy, it just come out by itself. But this is what Dhamma is. When you are on the right path with the right Dhamma, you will have a lot of virtue. You will have a lot of gratitude, respect, contentment. All these virtues will manifest. Because you really feel it. And you really would like to thank all these people. Because without this condition, without these people, all these are not possible. You will know. That's why you have a lot of gratitude towards all the Buddhas, the Bodhisattva, who went this way before us. Without them, this way cannot be found, the Bodhisattva way. Without the Sammasambuddha, the Dhamma cannot be around. That's why this gratitude keep on coming. Like my teacher, he has great loving kindness and gratitude towards nature. He said, nature is full of loving kindness. Nature just give and give and give. Because when he stay in the forest, he reflect, he contemplate. He saw the great generosity of nature. The air we breathe come from nature. The water we drink come from nature. And nature never complained. Then nature, especially all those trees in the forest, they endure the sunlight and give us the shade, give us the resources of nature. And what the human being do? We destroy nature. We are so selfish. We did so much of this negative thing. So when you have the Dhamma, you have a lot of this good mind state. It will keep on arising. And it's just joy, gratitude, contentment, understanding. Then you will just know how to unfold and be a blessing to all, and you will manifest according to your vow. That's why your cultivation becomes different. All this becomes automatic. Your nature will just do because of the understanding. Very good, anyway. Very good.
The gratitude. Because we walk also becomes so difficult.
The nature, your nature is one with the phenomenon.
One with the awe.
Whatever movement. Because you can feel that nature, that movement, that phenomenon, that movement. One with it. So beautiful.
So this is part of the drawing.
That's why your silent mind, your silent mind will draw all this, will understand all this, which the normal human thought cannot understand. But the human thought cannot access all this. The human thought can commit it to memory through the excitement and sometimes through the phobia and all those. But the human thought cannot touch that which is beyond thought. Cannot. That's why when you have this meditative mind, the silent mind, your nature becomes different. When you are aware, heedful, mindful, you are different. You are completely different. That's the reason why last time I used to share with you all, there are so much things about the Dhamma that this nature understands, but it cannot share with you, there is no condition. That's why now there is condition, I will accordingly share with you all. So that all this, because it's recorded, it will go into the website. And the future people will have this understanding. But these are special Dhamma that is not within the Dhamma book, not within the normal cultivator. You need to have good cultivation to realize all this ability, to experience all these things with the silent mind, with the meditative mind, with the understanding. And yet, you can describe it in words so that people of the future generation, when they reach that stage, they will know. It's just like Engby. When her nature opens out and she can draw, she understands immediately what I say. You can draw. Last time, draw. What draw? Get something to pull. You cannot. But when you are in that state, no need word, no need explanation, straight away, like mind to mind, straight away. I understand, she understand, the cultivator understand. That's why I say the Mahayana teaching are for enlightened beings. They are not for normal beings. Because it comes from the enlightened mind, the silent mind of the cultivator. That's why all these Dhamma come from there. So when you go through the cultivation, when you experience all those things, when your mind state transforms, then the Dhamma become very clear. Like Hui Ning, the moment he heard, the mind must have no dwelling, he straight away come to great awakening. Because he is in that state. That's why he can comprehend, he can understand. Very good.
So when we enjoy the scenery of, I shall say in Mandarin, Qun San Huan Bao,
yes.
It's all surrounded by the mountain.
Yeah, very beautiful.
Wow. When you are inside there, you're really, you are in heaven.
Yes.
Oh, no, no, like heaven also don't know how it looks like.
It's beautiful. Like, to you, it's heavenly rhyme because this type of what they call xianjing, you cannot experience other place. Because their whole lake is so still, so beautiful. And they don't even have petrol boat. Means no diesel, no petrol, no pollution. Human strength to roll. They keep it very pristine. The car, everything are electric motor, electric car mostly, except some of the buses. They use diesel and petrol. And the whole island is very pristine, very beautiful. And not much human being, 300 over 1,000 only. I think at any one time, maybe the tourists are more. But it's beautiful. Good, sadhu.
Okay, another thing we'd like to share is, especially when we reach this ancient temple, I think where the emperors go forth. Suimu Sen Si, where Brother Tony, where we were all at the highest steps of the series of steps where nine dragon heads were there, and then we were so called stepping on the backbone of the number nine. Where Brother Tony and there's one more lady.
Hui Ling.
They went down all the way to take photo from the bottommost. Take photo for us. I thank them so much. They have so much energy. And then for the sake of our benefit, they photo from there. So I'm yet to see the website. How is it come out the result?
Oh, beautiful.
I haven't seen it. So with gratitude to them, both of them, Brother Tony and Hui.
Luckily, Tony, he actually, his photo, he don't want to send through WhatsApp. When you send through WhatsApp, it becomes reduced. Resolution. His photo quality is direct from his camera. Oh, that's why it's very clear, very clear. You go in and see, it's so different, so clear.
From, I think, the same temple, right?
Yeah, same temple.
Saw the Diamond the Diamond Sutra,
engraved on the pillar.
Very touching. So many years ago, they still keep this Dhamma on the pillar. Very beautiful. So I think that's all that I would like to say. Thank you very much.
Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So we should thank Queenie, Adeline, and Engby. Who is next? Pamasuriya. Wow. PG direct to Pamasuri. PG already shared at your Thursday class. Give to Pamasuri. Vivian also wants to share. Saw. Pass to Saw. Saw the first trip. Saw. Give to Saw.
One more thing, I want to express my gratitude to the people who carry her.
Yeah.
It's so tough for them. I said, thank you very much. You make her
just for 200 renminbi.
I feel the same gratitude for them.
Just for 200 renminbi. Or 500. Worth it. Because you save so much strength. Yeah, so.
My trip, the Tiger Leaping Lodge, everybody mentioned about the running water, but nobody mentioned about the insect. I can hear the insect.
The insect sound, the vibration, a lot. Within nature. That insect vibration, a lot. And then in the nunnery,
when we were meditating there,
yeah.
I think it was very hot that day.
Yes, after some time,
you feel like the no more hot.
Yeah, you don't feel hot. Your body like cool down.
Very silent, still.
Yeah, the energy there very good. Energy there.
And then in the Loop Lake, I feel that's the best hotel I sleep in. When I wake up the next morning, I feel like very rejuvenated.
You are like totally recharged.
Yeah.
Because the nature's energy at a high altitude, together with the collective consciousness of the area and the Kayanamita, you will feel it. You are like recharged. Very good, sadhu. That's all, then Vivian.
In fact, the first 3 days I was a bit lost.
Concerned
about the journey.
The dangerous winding path. Mountainous, and your stomach motion sickness upset.
Concerned about climbing.
And also you saw PG, miserable down there. PG was sitting behind me and my wife, opposite you.
I was wondering all the time whether I can see all the places.
Because I can't really walk so much.
I've always been a very lazy person. But when I see Queenie,
This one is the one that gives you confidence.
Inspiration. When I got home, I started cycling.
Well, I must say that I wasn't quite aware of a lot of things. Because you are new. So don't worry.
But I did feel a kind of spiritual...
Calmness and connection. But this is your first trip. You already did it very well.
I'm more concerned, like the next place, can I walk anymore?
This brings out a very good Dhamma. When your thought project, there is doubt. Doubt leads to fear, lack of confidence. Understand? That's why you trust your nature. Have faith. Whatever will be, will be. Then everything will come out beautiful. Why you want to worry?
This moment, if you worry, doesn't help.
Understand? This moment, you must understand the reality. If I have faith, trust in my nature, in the Kayanamita, then you can quote me also, in Brother Teo, like Mr. Er said, Ito Pamasuri. Don't worry about rainy season. We are traveling with Brother Teo. That's why everything will go our way because the true nature's law will take care. Not to say I got psychic, I got nothing. But because the way we do things with understanding, the nature will unfold. And it will turn out beautiful. This is how the Dhamma comes in. And you will learn to have this faith. All those who went with me, now they are different. They are very confident when they travel. They got no more of those thinking.
Well, finally, I just resolved to do what I can.
Sadhu. Very good. I saw finally you become very happy. Because after the first two days, no more winding road, no more vomit, no more motion. Everything is spiritual trip already. After that, all the temples were so beautiful. Especially the Kuan Yin temple we went to. The first in Dali. The highest one, that Kuan Yin. The male one. We did the chanting, remember? So beautiful. Then after that, we come down, the Ta Xiong Bao Tian and all those things. Then there were so many of these temples, so beautiful. Even the one in Kunming, the last one we visited, was so beautiful. I never expect in Kunming also got such beautiful temple, and it took us to the right temple. We were supposed to go to another one.
But I must admit, I find it quite exhausting packing bags every night.
Oh, definitely. The only day not exhausting is we got to stay one hotel for two nights.
But overall, it was quite meaningful.
Yeah. Very beautiful. I like Tali area, Tali and Kunming. The temples were beautiful. They are more towards Mahayana tradition. The other one, Tibetan one, like I shared with you, you hardly find Tamil. No more. That's why it's different, the culture, the rites and ritual, how they get influence and evolve. Very good, Sadhu.
And I'm thankful for all the help and encouragement.
And the organizer. You should thank the organizer.
And definitely, I thank her long ago.
Pamasuri did a lot of work. Then Mr. Earl also put in a lot of hard work.
Thank you. Sadhu.
Thank you. So, 6 o'clock, Pamasuri escaped. Tuesday class. Last one. Okay, good. Pamasuri will revive. Anyway, I rejoice because at least Kayana Mita get to understand what is the deep meaning of spiritual trip and all this Dhamma activity that we hold. It's not just attending. No, you get to understand many things. You get to benefit in a great way. You get to perform all the meritorious action, the wholesomeness. You get to train your mind. You get to develop heedfulness, attentiveness, mindfulness. The whole lot of training is there, the cultivation is there. That's why you must have all this. And this is what my nature benefited during the early days when I cultivate. My nature travel and move. Not because I want to, the condition unfolds, and my nature knows, it just goes. Then when I am there, I know why I have to be there. And I met so many of these great teachers, great monks, and also beautiful places with all the energy and all those things. And it's like I need those energy to draw, and they need to draw my nature's energy. So it's meant to be. A lot of things are meant to be. Affinity, your vow will draw you, will bring you the condition, and you will know what to do, and you will know how to manifest accordingly. Sometimes the non-human, they actually wanted us to be there. That's why they will condition the Kayana Mita to make the request and all that. And finally, it will fall into place. And you can never understand how beautiful Dhamma unfolds until you have the Dhamma. When you have the Dhamma, you will understand what I tell you, all these things. Whatever that is meant to be will be. Sometimes it's very, very strange. Like you never believe. How can things be like that? I used to say you think it's fairy tale. Some of the things that I share with you, I tell you, you think it's fairy tale. So fairy tale already very difficult to believe in. But what actually happened, the truth is more fantastic than fairy tale, I tell you. It's even more fantastic than fairy tale. And it really unfolds. And when you hear about this, you can never believe your ear. Because you say, how can things be like that? Never be. And yet, it happened. That's why when you have the nature, the understanding, the Dhamma, things are different. things that normal people cannot understand, normal cultivator cannot understand. But if you are in this field, in this understanding and cultivation, you will understand. Because it is very, very beautiful and very different. Okay, we better end. Otherwise, take up too much of your time. So let us recall to mind all the wholesomeness. Then we will share all this wholesomeness with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahittika punyang tam anamoditva chirang rakkhantu loka sasana ittavata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anamodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idam menyati dam hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idam menyati nam hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idam menyati nam hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo ibina punya kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end.
Oh, like, what do you...